Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Read verse 23. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. Throughout the Bible, we find that God's people choose special and meaningful names for their children. Practice, of course, continues today for many people. We desired that we should give our children meaningful names, and before our first was ever born, God had brought us through a difficult season of life and ministry through a study of the life of David in the Bible, and we decided that if God ever gave us a son, that we would call him Solomon. And within just a brief amount of time, the Lord did give us Solomon. As we considered names for our second child, I was in my third semester of Hebrew at seminary, and having studied the significance of the word shalom and all of its weighty meaning in the Bible, we decided to use a derivative of that word for our daughter's name. In fact, both Solomon and Salem are derived from that Hebrew word. And their names became foundations for our prayers for them even before they were born. For Solomon, we have prayed the words of 1 Kings chapter 10 and verse 24, where it says, all the earth was seeking the presence of Solomon to hear the wisdom that God had put in his heart. And that's our prayer, is that he would be a great witness for the Lord, and that the nations would be impacted by the wisdom that God puts in his heart. And for Salem, we've prayed the words since before she was born. We've prayed Psalm 76:2. God's tabernacle is in Salem, that he would dwell in her and use her for his glory. Now for some parents, the choosing of a name for a child involves reading books and magazine articles and consulting friends and making lists of choices with all the pros and the cons of each one and how do they sound together and all these possibilities. But for Joseph and for Mary, there was no process like that. They were not given the opportunity to choose the name for their child. God himself chose this child's name. And that's fitting, for in reality, the child's name was actually being chosen by his true father. As with some other children in the Bible, this child's name communicated a divine message from God to humanity. God doesn't wait for the child to grow up and proclaim the message. The child is the message, and his name bears that message to mankind. We see first the meaning of his name. The angel told Joseph, you shall call his name Jesus. Now, this was a common name for Jewish males in that day. It's the Greek form of the Hebrew names Joshua and Hosea, both recognizable names of two significant Old Testament figures. And many people named their children after those biblical heroes in that day. And this, throughout the Gospels, we see the significance of the name and the popularity of the name and the fact that Jesus is frequently referred to as Jesus of Nazareth, as opposed to Jesus from some other part of the area. It's a disambiguation by saying this is Jesus of Nazareth. There was many other Jesuses. Or plural of Jesus, maybe Jesus, I'm not sure. But so many children with that name. But this Jesus was not just one child among many with the same name. In fact, so significant was this Jesus that shortly after his lifetime, the name which had at one time been one of the most popular names for Jewish children suddenly fell out of usage. It's suspected that some avoided the name out of reverence for this Jesus of Nazareth, and others out of contempt for him. The name means Yahweh is salvation. Yahweh is the pronunciation that we give to the unpronounceable name of God that was revealed to Moses at the burning bush. It's the name that communicates the essence of his divine nature and the name by which his covenant people know him. And because of the commandment to not take the name of the Lord in vain, pious Hebrew scholars down through the ages inserted vowels into this name to make it more pronounceable. They chose the vowels out of the word Adonai. And when they came to the word, Adonai, by the way, means Lord. And when they came to the word in their Hebrew scriptures, they would pronounce it as Adonai so as to not mispronounce this covenant name of God and thus take his name in vain. And the combination of this name that we pronounce Yahweh with those letters from Adonai gives us this name Jehovah that we sometimes use for God. But in giving this name Jesus to this child, God was saying something about himself. He was saying Yahweh is salvation. God is salvation. He was announcing to mankind that his nature was that of grace and love and that he was mighty to save. And that's really why it's such a serious matter to take the name of the Lord in vain and associate his name with damning things. His nature is to save because of his mercy and his grace. But when his offer of mercy and grace are refused, only then does he condemn. And he does so justly and righteously because he's infinitely holy. So we mustn't separate his holiness from his mercy and thereby fail to understand that his nature is to reach out and save mankind, not to condemn. There are people who think of God as a cosmic policeman, sort of, who's bent on finding all the fun in the world and putting a stop to it immediately. Or there are some who think of God only in terms of his wrath and his judgment. It's just waiting to find something that he can pour out brimstone on. And there are those who think he isn't there at all. Or that if he is, we could know nothing about him. But the meaning of this child's name proclaims a message to us about the nature of God. His name is Jesus, which means that Yahweh is salvation. We see secondly in the text the mission of his name. The angel tells Joseph to call the child Jesus, and then he gives him the reason. For he will save his people from their sins. The reason for calling the child Jesus is this mission that he has come upon. His name means salvation. That's why he came to save us from sin. Now, from the earliest passages of Scripture, when man first fell into sin in the Garden of Eden, God had been promising that he would send a Redeemer to bring salvation to people. In Genesis 3:15, he promised to bring forth one born of a woman who would crush the head of the serpent, indicating that he would destroy the power of Satan that had led humanity into sin. And from that point on, the Scriptures continue to reveal more and more about the coming of this Savior, the Messiah. We learn in Genesis 12 that he would be the descendant of Abraham. We learn in 2 Samuel 7 that he would be the descendant of David. We learn in Isaiah 7 that he would be born of a virgin. We learn in Micah 5 that he'd be born in Bethlehem. In Isaiah 53, we learn that he'd bring salvation through his own suffering on behalf of the sins of the people. And these and many other Old Testament prophecies all point the way forward to that first Christmas when Jesus was born. And it's as if in that moment, as the baby is wrapped in swaddling cloths and laid in the manger, that the shadow of the cross already looms over him. Here is the one who would live the sinless life that would completely satisfy the holy and righteous will of God, and yet who would go to be crucified at Calvary, though he did not deserve that death. He took it upon himself that our sins might be punished in him. He became our substitute in death, that we might be forgiven And he conquered death for us, that we might be made righteous in him and have eternal life. Here was the one who would save us, born in Bethlehem, laid in that manger. Salvation that Jesus has come to bring. He says he will save his people from their sins. You see, this salvation is sufficient for all humanity, but the fact of the matter is that all humanity will not receive it. In fact, the Bible does not say that Jesus has come to save all people, but he's come to save his people from their sins. Now, who are his people? Well, his people are those who come to him in faith and in trust and believe upon him to save them. These are they who have recognized that they are indeed sinners in need of a Savior and who've come to him to find that salvation. It may be very bad news to say to someone that they are a sinner, but it's the best news of all to say that Jesus came just to save that sort of person. Would not give us any hope at all just to come to church and hear it said, "Oh, we're all sinners. Happy New Year." The best news of all is that Jesus came to save just that sort of person. Not everyone is willing to admit that he or she is a sinner in need of saving. Just because they don't admit it doesn't mean it's not true. The Bible tells us that all human beings are born in a state of sinfulness, and human nature bears out the truth of it. I can't tell you the number of times I saw depravity illustrated over the Christmas holiday. I don't even have to use my children to illustrate the point. I saw it in my own life. So we were at a performance of the Nutcracker, and a person behind me leaned up and tapped me on the shoulder and said, "Sir, could you ask your son to be still? My daughter can't see." I'd be ashamed to admit to you the thoughts that went through my head and things I thought about saying at that point. Here I am, a Christian, a pastor, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit, student of the Word of God, and the thoughts that went through my head when that woman said that to me. We're all sinners. We're all prone to do those things that we know are not right. So just because a person isn't willing to admit they're a sinner doesn't mean they're not one. We all are. But the fact is, those who refuse to admit that they're sinners will not seek Jesus, will not seek his salvation, and will not find salvation in any other quarter if they do not find it in him. This baby in the manger came into the world on a rescue mission. His name signifies that mission. His name means salvation. Through his life, through his death, and through his resurrection, he has come to provide that salvation for sinners who turn to him in repentance and faith. He's come to save his people from their sins. Now we see finally the third point, the mystery of his name. So far we've said that the meaning of his name is that Yahweh is salvation. And the mission of his name is that he would save his people from their sins. But now, here's the mystery. You see, if Yahweh, God, is the one who is salvation, and Jesus is the one who has come to save us, then who must Jesus be? Well, Matthew tells us that all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel," which translated means what? God with us. The prophet is Isaiah. The prophecy that's quoted here in the capital letters in our English Bibles, quotation of Isaiah 7:14, spoken over 700 years before the Virgin Mary gave birth to Jesus in Bethlehem. You see, our state of sinfulness is so great that it requires God himself to act on our behalf to save us. And he has done so in the person of Jesus. We see from this prophecy that for many centuries, God had been announcing to his people that he was coming. That he would come himself to dwell among his people in the flesh. Here is God. God with us, Emmanuel. He's not, when we look at Jesus, we're not looking at merely a good man. We're not merely looking at a godly man. We are looking at Jesus, the God-man. Not half God, half man, but fully God. And in the miracle of the Christmas incarnation, fully human. It says something to us about God and about His love for us and His effort to save us, that He did not merely send us a representation. He did not merely send an emissary or an ambassador from heaven to proclaim something to us. No, He became one of us Himself so that He might live the life that we couldn't live and that He might die the death that we deserve and purchase by His very own blood the salvation that we could never obtain otherwise. I had a conversation with a Muslim man on one occasion, and he accused me very gently of being an idolater because he said I worshipped a man as God. And I explained my belief that, you know, although Jesus is fully human, that He's not just a man, but that in Jesus Christ, God became a man. And he said, God can't do that. And I said, well, your God is too small. Because I believe in a God who can do anything He wants to. Do you believe God can do anything He wants to? He said, yes. I said, can God become a man? He said, no. I said, let me start over. Do you believe God can do anything He wants to? He said, yes. I said, do you believe God can become a man? He said, no. I said, you're missing something. Let me try this again. And we went round and round with this for some lengthy amount of time, and ultimately it came down to the fact that my Muslim friend did not want to believe that God would ever desire to become a man. He couldn't fathom that an infinitely holy God would ever desire to lower Himself to humanity's level. And why would God want to become a man? The only possible explanation for that is because He loves us and He desires to save us from our sins. God is holy. God is righteous. And God, by His very nature, must punish sin. But God is also loving and just and desires to save sinners so that they would not perish eternally. Now, for a human being, that would pose a dilemma. I must do something about this. I don't want to do something. We would be pacing the floors wondering how to resolve the tension of that conundrum. But it's no dilemma for God. God's thoughts and His ways are infinitely higher than ours, and for God, this would-be dilemma is resolved in one action planned out from the beginning and proclaimed for centuries in advance. God would become one of us. He would satisfy His own demands on our behalf. He would receive our penalty in Himself on our behalf. He would conquer death forever on our behalf. He would offer the salvation that He has purchased for us to all who come to Him by faith. Meaning of His name, Yahweh is salvation. The mission of His name, He will save His people from their sins. The mystery of His name. This was fulfilling what was spoken through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and bear a son. Call His name Emmanuel, which means God with us. We find ourselves here today exactly in between. 3 days after Christmas, 3 days before New Year's. And in a sense, that may be somewhat symbolic of where we are in life. We're living right now in between the first coming of Christ into the world and that new era that His second coming will usher in. We don't know what 2009 will bring, much less what any time beyond that will hold for us, but we know this, that because of what God has done for us in Christmas, we have a brand new future that is secure and certain in His hands. Our past failures, our past sins can be put beneath the saving blood of Jesus, and each new day offers us a clean start to live for Christ who saved us from our sins. So the question is, before you can get ready for the new things that God has in store for you in the coming year and in the years that follow it, if He prolongs the days, the question is, have you received the gift of His salvation that the Christmas miracle is all about? God is salvation. Jesus is God in the flesh who has come to save sinners. And the promise of God is that all sinners who turn to Him in repentance and faith and believe that He died on the cross for their sins and rose again will be forgiven and saved. That is God's promise. And the name of His promise is Jesus. Would you go to the Lord in prayer with me? Father, we praise You today for who You are. Holy, righteous, loving, merciful, and gracious. We thank You that You are salvation, that in Christ You came to save us from sin. May we who know Jesus by faith walk with Him through this coming year. May we serve Him more faithfully than we ever have before. Witness for Him more boldly than we've ever done. Love Him more deeply, more intimately than we've ever experienced. And may those who do not know Christ in a personal way receive Your promise of salvation even this day. The name of that promise is Jesus, and it's in His name that we pray.